And verse 15, Jesus tells us to take heed, which is a very important phrase for him to use, which means that's obviously what we need to do is to stop and take heed. Notice he says here in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So we're going to take our title from verse 19, take thine ease. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are truly blessed to be in your house today, to hear from your word. Pray the Holy Spirit would now take it and apply it to each of our hearts, Lord. We trust in its power. And Lord, may we be responsive as the Spirit speaks to each of us. And may you be glorified in this time. Guide us in your truth. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so before telling the parable, Jesus says, take heed, be careful, pay attention, because covetousness can lead us astray. Notice he says, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things. And yet we get here 2,000 years later, it's all about acquiring things, isn't it? It seems to be the focus of the world today. So we shouldn't be surprised that's the case. But for us as Christians, if you go to Hebrews 13:5, God warns us about the danger of focusing on the things of this life, acquiring them, storing them. And notice he says, Hebrews 13:5 is one of those verses people love to quote a piece of it rather than the whole thing. But look at the first part. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. And then people love to just quote the last half, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So Jesus is saying, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But what is the context? The context is don't be covetous and be content. And if we're not covetous and we're content with what God provides, he promises he will never leave nor forsake. So God is warning us here that our focus cannot be here on this earth. The things around us, the things that we acquire, they're going to burn up. And that's why he tells the parable about this rich man. So let's go to the parable now this morning. Verse 16, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. You know, the Bible says that God reigns. Well, let's look at it. Matthew 5:45. That God sends the sun and the rain on the evil and the good. You know, in Proverbs we're told to fret not. Don't fret about the unsaved. Don't fret that they might have more or that they seem to be living in sin and getting away with it. They're getting away with nothing. They're going to hell if they don't get saved. But notice Matthew 5:45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth the rain on the just and on the unjust. God is sovereign. God does what God does. And it's not our place to question what God does. This man was a rich man in the parable, and unfortunately, it says he thought within himself. Well, there's the first problem, isn't it? The Bible says he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so we don't need to be thinking, what do I think? We need to be saying, what does God think? Amen? What is God's thoughts on this? And praise God, if you go to Proverbs 3, most of us know verses 5 and 6, but let's look at it. Praise God, God blessed him mightily to the point that he couldn't fit all of his crops. But his response was wrong. His response wasn't, "Thank you, Lord, what do you want me to do with it?" His response was, "What do I think? What do I think should happen with all of this?" And we, as even as God's children, need to be careful. It's not what I think, it's what God says in his precious word. But notice, we know this verse quite well. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding." We've got to be careful. This man was leaning on his own understanding. He said, he thought within himself. He didn't say, "Lord, what do you want?" He said, "This is what I think needs to happen." And so what did he say to himself in this self-conversation? Verse 18, "This will I do. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods." So he had a conversation with himself, and this is the conclusion that he came to. "I'll build bigger barns for all of this abundance that God has provided." You know, the Bible says the backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. And Jesus is warning us. He says, "Take heed." The Bible says in these last days that men should be lovers of their own selves. And that's sad in and of itself, that he just wanted to store more stuff. But the saddest bit was verse 19. "I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry." Those three words aren't to be in a Christian's vocabulary. Take thine ease. Nowhere in the scriptures are we told to take it easy, as we often say to one another. Take it easy. No, life is not easy. Life is hard. And we're told to work. We're told to serve. We're told to put Jesus first, take the gifts and the time that he's given us, and serve him. Jesus, if you go to Revelation 3, warned the church about this attitude of taking it easy. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. And he's talking specifically to the seventh of the seven churches, the Laodicean church. And look what he says here. He says, "I know thy works, and that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods." Well, that's the same thing the rich man said. "And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." And so the church was focusing on the physical. Jesus is focusing on the spiritual. The spiritual, we still need work. Amen. The spiritual, we still need to get right. We still need to grow, be more like Jesus. And all through the scriptures, we're told that taking it easy is not to be part of our vocabulary. Even as far back as Proverbs, what does he say? "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways." Look at the ant, how busy. They're always busy. They're always working. They're always moving. They're always doing stuff. God said, "I created the ant. And I gave the ant those instincts." Go look at the ant. How they are always busy. They're always working. In Amos chapter 6, if you turn there, verse 1, God gives another warning to the Old Testament saints. A very similar warning. Amos chapter 6 and verse 1. If you would turn there. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. There it is. "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion, that trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Woe to them that are at ease." A woe is pronounced there to those that are at ease. And Jesus, if you go to Matthew 20, told another parable about, we won't look at the whole parable, but he told another parable about workers in the vineyard. And of course, the vineyard is the world. The workers are us. But down in verse 6 of Matthew 20, it says, "11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle?" Why are you idle? Why are you not working? He's saying that to us. In Matthew 25:25, turn there, he told yet another parable. And Jesus was trying to get this message across to us, Matthew 25:25. "And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. This is Jesus speaking in the parable, the Lord speaking to the servant. And he says, thou wicked and slothful servant. Jesus, if you go to John 9, talked of his own ministry. And we don't see any idleness in Jesus, do we? He was always serving the Lord, always moving forward. And look what he says in John 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. That night is coming. The tribulation period. It will be a terrible time. But what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be like Jesus. We're not supposed to take our ease. We're supposed to work while we can work. Like that song says, remind me, pianist, work for the night is coming. That'll be a good hymn. So another one, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Most of us know this verse. But he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the, what? Work. Amen? The work of the Lord. That is our command. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So Jesus here warning us not only about covetousness, but about this attitude of take thine ease. Take it easy. Sit back. Eat, drink, and be merry. Not in the scriptures for Christians. So let's look at God's answer to this man's conclusion. Luke chapter 12, verse 20. And this is all we need to know. God says to this man, thou fool. Thou fool. What foolishness to not consult me. I've blessed you so much that you can't even hold everything that I've given you. And your conclusion is to build bigger barns and not to ask what I think you should do with it. Thou fool. Thou fool, thinking that now you can just sit back on your laurels and eat, drink, and be merry until you die. Thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required. Every Christian will give account, not for our sins, hallelujah, those are under the blood, but what we did with our Christian life while we were here on earth. What did we do with the gifts that God gave us? And he gave us so many. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, if you would, in verse 5. God blessed each one of us, if we're born again Christians, with gifts from the Holy Spirit. And every single one of those gifts, the purpose of those gifts is to serve others, to use what we have to be a blessing to others. 1 Peter 4:5. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Look down in verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Hallelujah. You and I are just stewards. We don't own anything. But one of the things we're stewards of are the gifts that God has imparted to us. He gave them to us to put to work. That one parable we looked at about the talents being handed out. The one who got blasted by God, if you will, for being a slothful servant was the one who took what God gave him. And rather than giving God interest on his investment, he buried it in the sand. And he was the one that got rebuked by the Lord. The Bible says, Romans chapter 14, we shall all give account. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And God says to him tonight, yeah, you might have a lot of stuff. You might have a lot of grain. You might be a very rich man, but tonight your soul is going to be required. And you know what? You're going to take none of it with you. 1 Timothy 6, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:8. But people try, don't they? So what does he say? Whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Sad. You know, the older that we get, the more we have friends and family that are also getting older. And there's nothing worse than watching a family fight over inheritances, say. Terrible, the evil that comes out in people when someone dies that has a little bit of money. It's sad. But God says, you're taking none of it. You're leaving all of these riches behind. You're leaving all of this stuff behind. Now I'm going to make you accountable for your soul. And if you're here this morning and you're not born again, you need to make sure your soul's ready to meet God. Amen. And the only way that can happen is if you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You repent of your sin and come to God and let Him save you from your sins and make you a new creature. You must do that because you will give account. Those of us that are Christians, we'll give an account. What do we do? Verse 20. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This is God's will. Not only that we don't take it easy, not only that we beware of covetousness, but that we be rich toward God. Well, how do we do that? You know, we can't get on our online banking and send money to heaven, can we?
It's impossible.
Thank you, Jay. But you know what? From a spiritual sense, it is possible. Whenever we choose to serve God, whenever we choose to love and serve others, whenever we choose to put God first in our lives, that's the very thing we are doing. As good stewards, we are laying up treasures in heaven. God even tells us to do so in Matthew 6. Let's turn there quickly in verse 19. And so if God tells us to do so, then it's obviously possible. Amen. Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. One day a rich man came to Jesus in Matthew 19, if you want to turn there. Jesus knew he was rich because Jesus knew everything about everyone's heart. And so Jesus knew that this man loved money, obviously. And look what he said to the man in verse 21. If thou wilt be perfect, Matthew 19:21, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. So there's that phrase again. Well, the rich man obviously loved money. But he said, I'll tell you what, you go sell everything you have, you give all your money to the poor, and what will you have? Treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. So as we do give to others, as we do help others, as we do serve others, and we're a blessing to others, we're doing that very thing. We're laying up treasure in heaven. We're not like this man, hopefully, who says, I've got it made. I've got a great job. I've got a good paycheck. Whatever, my house is paid for. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Not in the scriptures for Christians. We're never to take our ease. We're to work, we're to work, we're to work till Jesus comes. Take the time. You know, we only have this short time on earth, and then we're going to be with Jesus forever. Think about that. He says, take this short time on earth and serve me. I gave you everything. I died for you. I forgave you of all your sins. I'm making you a mansion in heaven. You get to walk on gold in heaven. So just take that short time that you have left between when you're saved and when I take you to glory and serve. Work for me. Don't be like this man who says, I'll just take my ease. I'll just sit back and eat, drink, and be merry. You know what? When we get to heaven, there'll be plenty of time for celebrating. Amen. Plenty of time for resting. God calls it a rest. Plenty of time to sit and talk to one another about what God has done. Think about that. If you have eternity, you can have some pretty long conversations in heaven. We're even going to get to see Jesus. Imagine what that will be like. But until we get there, God does not say, take thine ease. He says, work. Work till Jesus comes. Amen. That's our calling. That's what God wants us to do as His servants and as His stewards, is to work till Jesus comes. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this parable and the great lessons that it teaches us about covetousness, about idleness, about serving you. Lord, about accountability to you, about laying up treasures in heaven. I pray, Lord, that we would take these things to heart, and that would be our goal. It's just to serve you with the time we have left, until you come to take us to glory. I pray that will be our goal. I pray, Lord, if there's someone in this service not born again, may you open their hearts to their need for Jesus, that their soul would be ready to meet their Creator, and they'd be willing to come to Christ even today. Thank you.